Jeff.
Good morning. Merry Christmas to each of you. I am truly excited to stand up here before you this morning and truly humbled to have this opportunity to stand and to serve with each of you. I really, I can never tell David no, and I think we all can relate to that. I appreciate when he asked me, it definitely not the service I want to stand, and I know there are many brothers that probably are better served to stand up here this morning, and so truly humbled by this opportunity. I want to bring our hearts and our minds in just a little bit this morning, and probably not a traditional Christmas sermon, but my hope is that I can kind of bring your thoughts together and we can kind of draw on the spirit of the season, kind of draw on the spirit of the day, and really kind of appropriate that we have a Sunday morning service on Christmas morning today on December 25th. So there's a couple things that I'm going to reference in my sermon, and I'm going to reference some things of memories, experiences, as a kid growing up, that anticipation of Christmas morning, and kind of a tradition that I remember and that I remember growing up and I think has become a tradition even today when I think of Christmas, I think of the Sunday school program that we have. I think of the songs that are sung and the memory of hearing different songs sung. And one of those songs, my cousin Kevin sings a lot, and I appreciate hearing him sing it. My uncle Jim used to sing this song, and it was "O Holy Night." And a song that, you know, that kind of reinforces that memory for me of Christmas. And I'm going to read, and I want to focus on a couple portions of the song throughout the words that I feel to offer this morning. And just just reading the first verse. "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." So if I were to ask you the question, there is a word in there that I would ask you, and you don't need to answer, but the verse that says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining." Have you ever thought about that word, pining? What does that word mean? Pining. And, if we did a poll, I've always thought it'd be cool, you know, with technology, if we could all get on our phones and kind of give an answer really quick just to see that response. If I were to ask you what was your response, you know, how many of you would say that word pining is a longing, a hope, a desire? And in sin and error pining, we're longing and hoping for an interruption. Something to course correct a thing. You know, that song was written, and I'm just going to read. The song was written by a gentleman by the name of Placide Capot. I don't know how to pronounce it, in France in 1847. It was banned in all of France shortly thereafter when he left the faith. But the song did not die because of its intense message of hope, a hope that all of us long for deep within. It continued to carry on. People would sing it even year-round, so much so that over 20 years later, in 1870, during the Franco-Prussian War, German and British soldiers faced each other, aiming to kill each other. It was a cold. In the lull of gunfire, one of the soldiers began to sing, "O Holy Night." And it caught on and spread throughout the foxholes. It led to an interruption of a battle, an interruption that created hope, an interruption that created a ceasefire for 24 hours. You know, we love this song, and I don't know that I thought about it this way, but I guess as I read this and I was kind of reading through some of the history of this song, you know, it creates, and it is this message of hope for us. It's this message in this interruption of what is going on around us, of the world that we live in, the things, and much like this example, you know, this experience in this war that was that interruption, that created a hope, that created a thought and an idea and a longing and a desire, for their family, these soldiers, a longing and a desire for a survival, a longing and a desire for a blessing. And I think that's a message for each of us today. You know, it's if you continue to research and this amazing Google that we have, you know, we love this song because of the message of hope, and it's the it continues to talk about, you know, lines within this song: chains shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. You know, in 1906, one of Thomas Edison's colleagues was experimenting with a machine, one that would later go on to be called the radio. Now, on the radio, so what was specifically did he interrupt? Were the ships that were passing by. No one had a radio at this time, but the ships that were passing by at the time had this radio that was used for Morse code. And over it, they heard the song, O Holy Night, the first song that was played out over the radio waves. Right, and it continues to talk about, you know, this verse, or the song continues to say, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we. Let us all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, oh praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. And then this gentleman that was playing the song over the radio for the first time, Edison's colleague, he then read Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Right, this first message that played out over the radio waves was that Luke chapter 2, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, when you think about that message, when you think about that, I really want to key on that word, that interruption. And you know, I want you to think about how many of you planned for Christmas this year. Okay, everybody has to raise their hand, because in some way, somehow, every one of you planned, right? Whether you're a young child that you're planning to give your parents a gift, if you're an adult, you're planning for a meal, right? If you're living away and you're coming here, you're planning to make a trip here, right? If you're planning for something, it's not the same interruption as what we realized, right, is this message that this song gives is this hope, this interruption in what is normal. I'll give you an example. So I was flying back this last week, flying back here. My plan was originally I was going to fly in on Friday. Then I realized I changed some meetings around and I'm going to fly back Thursday night after work. And then I started to realize the weather is coming. It's going to get ugly. And so I changed my flight to come back early Thursday morning. Thankfully, I did. No issues traveling. But you know, it was a slight interruption, right? It was a change. It was something that was going on that led me to say, man, I got to do this differently. I never, ever have thought about not being here with my family on Christmas, right? There was a year, I don't know, many, many years ago, I was traveling to Canada for a meeting the week before Christmas, got stuck in Denver, ended up spending like 3 days stuck completely in Denver, couldn't get out. Finally, a guy that I worked with that I really didn't know that well realized that I was stuck in Denver. He was driving from Denver to come back to Kansas City and offered to give me a ride, right? Just a few days before Christmas. It was an interruption. It was a change, right? Something that you really hadn't planned on, but I always knew I would be here, right? And we think about those things within our lives. There are things that we plan for, and then there are things that are in that interruption. And I guess what I want is sometimes when something happens and it interrupts What is our normal part of life, right? That memory and that thought is that it reinforces for us what is that reason for why we're here, right? I want us to just kind of trip over the thought, and the idea is, why are we here? Why did you come this morning? Are you here to hear a message? Are you here to hear the songs? Are you here to spend the time with your brothers and sisters? Or are you here just because you have to? Right? And I want us to just not go through that activity of life just because, you know, this is what I do. Right? It's that desire for something greater, that desire for something good. Right? There's been thousands of years of prophecy, and there was this silence within the world. Michelle and the boys and I had a chance, and we went to Israel one time, and we went to Bethlehem, actually, where they believe that Christ was born. Right? And you look at the place where that is today, and it's completely changed, no doubt. It is completely changed from what it was, if that is the spot where Christ was born. Right? It wasn't planned. It was an interruption in the lives of all those around. And now it's become, right? It's this recognition to this goodness of Christ, this goodness that he has given us. There is something that we should have in common here today. And it is that desire, that longing, that waiting, and that desire for the second coming of Christ. Right? On this day and this season, this time that we prepare for a possible interruption in our lives, not a possible, but something that will change, right? We know that Christ will come again, and we have that desire, and ultimately, we have that hope, right? And if we can carry with us this message of hope, I'm going to read this morning, and the bulk of the scripture that I'm going to read is not a traditional Christmas message. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 9. Probably not what you expected, but not the traditional message, but one that I think hopefully will carry out this message. If you have your scriptures, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. And I'm going to read through most of the scripture as we go through this. So in Matthew chapter 9, it says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over, and came into his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." All right, probably not the message that in fact we know by reading the scripture is not the message or not the words that was expected that Christ would say. "And behold," it continues on in the third verse, "and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." Right? This message of hope. Right, whether he said to the man, you know, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven, or whether he say, arise and walk, Christ healeth. Right, there was this interruption as Christ was getting off the ship, as he came into the port, as he came into the city, and he saw this man and he healed this man. Right, this amazing miracle that happened right there in front of the people. And what did the people say when they saw this happen? Did they immediately believe that this was Christ and believe that a miracle had happened? Or were there critics? Were there people looking in and they were saying, you know what, this guy is, you know, who is this guy to say what he said? Christ heals. "Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thy house." And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. You know, this thing, this real occurrence, this interruption in the life of those that experienced this, you know, your sins are forgiven. So here we are, and this man gets up and this guy walks. And then what happens after this point? Where does Christ then go? What's that? To eat dinner. But who did he have dinner with? the publicans and sinners. And who specifically did he greet when he went to the tax collector? What was the name of the tax collector? Matthew. Right? So continuing on this interruption of life, right? Do you think Matthew, so we know the story and you know, it continues on, and I'm amazed sometimes when I read this chapter or verse 9 in chapter 9, you know, and he says to Matthew, you know, here is a man of Matthew, so you understand the context of a tax collector. If you have any feeling in your heart for an idea of a tax collector today, if any of you work for the IRS, I apologize. Right? But what is that natural, you know, thing within you when you think about the idea of a tax collector is what? Taking your money, right? You've earned this money, and now all of a sudden, you have to pay a portion of what you have to the tax collector. And so, what was the idea back then? Is it really that different back then than it is today? It probably was a little bit, because it's not to the same extent, right? But what was happening with the taxes when they were collected? The money was going to Rome, and what was Rome doing with it? It was killing the people of the time. Right? And so do you think the tax collectors were really thought well of people? Not at all. Right? And so this idea of this tax collector, Jesus going up to this tax collector and he says, follow me. Probably the people looking on seeing one of the worst people. And Jesus says, follow me. And it came to pass that Jesus then went with Matthew and sat and as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down, and with him his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole not need a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, right? So this idea is that, you know, Jesus went to Matthew's house. He went and met with some of the worst people. And Jesus was called out on it. And what did he say? He says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, right? This idea is, you know, how many times have you seen someone on the side of the road? Or how many times have you seen someone in need? Right? This hope that Christ gives us also gives us a responsibility, a calling to be of service to others. Right? A calling and a responsibility. Right? We're a blessed people and we have this opportunity to be of service. Right? Jesus didn't come to serve, Jesus came to serve. But he came to serve and calling on the sinners to repentance. And I think that's the, you know, the calling of hope for us today is, you know, there are some, I have no doubt that, you know, we look within our lives and we know that we have imperfections and flaws. And I would tell you that we have that opportunity to call unto our Lord and say, you know, ask for that forgiveness. We also have a calling and responsibility as we continue to reach out and to touch our brother. Touch the person that is sitting next to us. Touch the person that we greet, that we see. The opportunity to be of service. The scripture continues on, you know, and it says that, you know, that really the idea is in my mind as I read this chapter 9, this idea of this interruption. Matthew continued on in the 14th verse, and he says, then came him to the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which he put is put into fill up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. You know, I'm not going to stop on those verses other than just to say there's a whole series of sermons that can go into these verses that we just read there. But continuing on, he says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Right? Another opportunity, another interruption in the life, and an interruption in the example that is shared with us of the many miracles that Christ performed. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed at him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he put in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. And this continues on, and you've all read this, and I'm not going to continue to read on throughout. I'm going to skip down a little bit later into the chapter. But ultimately, right, this message of hope, this idea of this interruption, this idea is that Christ came to interrupt the lives of sinners. Christ came to interrupt the lives of sinners. Christ came to interrupt our life. He changed our life. He changed this experience that we have. There are times in our lives when we probably are strong in our faith, and there are times when we are weak in our faith. But what doesn't change is that desire of Christ to call unto each of us. The desire of Christ to set that example for us that gives us that hope. You know, that question is, in my mind, is how do you define hope? As I was thinking about this, you know, hope is the anxious anticipation of what you most want, of what you want most. It's such a great word, and I think it's very appropriate for this Christmas day. You know, Christmas to me, as I said earlier, was this anticipation. Right, as a kid growing up, we would go to my granny and pa's on Christmas Eve and spend time with my dad's side of the family, and then we would drive home from Harrisonville and have a horrible time trying to go to sleep and in anticipation of what was going to be there on Christmas morning. And then we'd get up on Christmas morning, and I was always one that I would get up early and excited and try to wake up the rest of my family and go down and open the presents that we had, and then it would be, we'd get ready, and we didn't even get ready, we would just go to my grandma and grandpa Nass' house, right? And all my cousins, we remember going there for pancake breakfast, right? That anticipation, that excitement, you know, that was that tradition of Christmas. And then we would all go home, and we'd play with our toys, we'd get cleaned up, get things ready, and then we would go to my Uncle Steve and Aunt Melissa's house. And usually a big family dinner that was there together with all of the family and everyone coming together, right? That was Christmas, right? That excitement, that time that we had together. And that ultimately it shouldn't be any different for us today. It shouldn't be any different for us 10 Sundays from now, that anticipation, that desire and that hope for what is to come. That desire and that hope for what is within, that is what is in front of us. Psalms 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hope interrupts the lives of those around us. Hope interrupts our lives and has interrupted our lives. And I guess what I would encourage each of us, you know, I'm one of those individuals that I can walk down the aisle and I may not see something, right? I may not be paying attention to everything that is going on around me. My hope is that we see those opportunities around us, right? We see those that are desiring. We see those that are longing. We see those that are struggling with something in their lives. And calling us today to have that responsibility to be of service. And in Matthew chapter 9, it ends in the 37th and 38th verse, and it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into this harvest." Right? That calling to each of us, each and every one of us that are sitting here today. Right, that calling to each and every one of us that are online, that are streaming, that are watching today. A calling for each of us to be of service. Right, a desire to have that desire, interrupting what is our normal lives, interrupting what are those things that maybe distract us within our lives, and calling us to be of service. Another fun fact on O Holy Night, and it's not really to the song, but another song that plays into this. And there was another war that was interrupted by a song. This time it was in World War I. And some of you, actually, I think if you go down to the World War I Museum, I think they reference this at some point in the tour. And it talks about in World War I on December 24th, there was a great truce of 1914. And they interviewed the soldiers who were there, and it said that there was a gunfire and there was a ceasing of gunfire on the battlefield, and the soldiers began to sing Silent Night. The same thing happened, a fight that was interrupted. Soldiers who hoped to kill each other, who had hoped to survive the cold and the weather and to see their families again, their hope and this interruption and that really this time when the men were in their foxholes and they started to sing that song. They started to sing O Holy Night, or I'm sorry, Silent Night. And so, you know, for each of us, and my hope is, you know, I think of this song, O Holy Night, and you know, when I think of the song, I can hear my Uncle Jim singing it. When I think of the song, I can hear my cousin Kevin singing it. And my hope is that we can each, you know, have this remembrance when we hear this song, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. I got to tell you, you know, I dialed into the Wednesday night prayer service, and I heard one of our brothers make a comment about, you know, maybe December 25th isn't the day that Christ was born. And you know, I thought about it at first, and I really don't care. Right? It doesn't matter to me. What matters is this remembrance of Christ on this day. And so it is great that we all have this opportunity to come together. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Right? That desire for that interruption of the sin and the error around us. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Christ is the Lord. I'm sorry. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Christ is the Lord than evermore. Right? And we know this, and it continues on in the last verse, or the second verse says, led by the light of faith, serenely beaming. With glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here come the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel peace. His gospel is peace. Chains shall break for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. And you know, that's my hope for each of us is truly that remembrance truly that thankfulness for the interruption, the hope that was given to us, the hope that is given to us every day, the opportunity that we have to serve and to offer that service to our Heavenly Father. Thank you.